Good morning, and happy Easter. We keep on celebrating our Lord's resurrection in this Easter season. Also, we celebrate, of course, the Lord's ascension. One thing we want to keep in mind whenever we hear the Gospels, that Jesus is always teaching us, including today. In his ascension, Jesus is teaching us that our true home is heaven. As I said, everything Jesus did was to teach us. We can just go through the various things he did while on this earth. In every instance, he's basically letting us know that our human lives have divine approval, divine approbation. We can look at the way that Jesus was born, his life in a family, his hidden life, his work, his sufferings, his death. All of these things are indicating that this is part of our experience. Jesus experienced them as well. Jesus indicates that these are good. These are to be embraced, especially the last one, the worst of all, death, because in death, Jesus shows that is not the final word. He rises. Jesus rises again with the resurrection. And so then, he's teaching throughout his whole life. We know that he spent more or less 33 years on this earth. Today, we celebrate his ascension, his return to heaven. He's been there ever since, 2,000 years. So 33 years is an indication, divine approval of our human lives, of our human existence. But then 2,000 years indicating earth is just for a time. Heaven is for the end, until the end of time, until there is no end, eternity. He's teaching us that with his ascension today. As we learn this lesson, we may realize that in order for us to embrace this, we have to unlearn things our culture quietly, subconsciously provides to us. And I just want to highlight a couple things in our culture. There's actually many, many more that give to us a message different. This message that heaven is our true home. I want to date myself right now by going back to a TV commercial that was popular in the 1970s for the Three Musketeers candy bar. Do you recall Fluffy, not Stuffy? So there are these clouds in heaven, and there are angels on the clouds just hanging out. And they were talking about the kind of candy bar that they would eat. And the candy bar they would eat, of course, was the Three Musketeers bar, because that candy bar is fluffy, not stuffy. If they ate a stuffy candy bar, they'd fall through the clouds and hit the earth. So to stay in heaven, they had to eat the Three Musketeers bar. If you remember the commercial, they didn't seem like they were having too much of a great time. They're just there on a cloud, really not doing anything, just hanging out, eating candy bars. So it wasn't a great portrayal of heaven. Another example, a movie from the late 1980s, 1989, All Dogs Go to Heaven. You may remember that hit, that classic. I think it did better at the home than it did in the theaters. In any case, I won't go through the whole story, but heaven in that, especially in the beginning, is portrayed as a boring place. This one dog is murdered and goes to heaven, and he is so bored in heaven, he escapes to get back to earth. So the message, heaven is a boring place. Heaven is really not where you want to go. I remember another movie about football players, Heaven Can Wait. I think Warren Beatty was in that. I don't have many details on that movie. But I also want to encourage you to think about popular songs, presently or in the past. Not across the boards, but they tend to focus when a person dies, and this is very natural, when a person dies, how much they want that person back. They want that person's love, that person's presence, their advice, the joy they have with that person. And sometimes in these songs, in these cultural manifestations, there is this subtle message, it would be better for them to be here with us, for them to be in heaven. I'm thinking in particular of this one song from the early 2000s by a group called Train. The name of the song is Drops of Jupiter. Some people think it's Tell Me. In that song, the singer is actually singing about his mother who had died. And so it's very poignant, very touching. And he's speaking to his mother, and he's saying, tell me, what is it like to be dead? Asking her all these different questions. But one of the questions he asks her is something like this, isn't heaven overrated? And the way that he puts the question, it's almost as if we all know heaven is overrated. It's better for you to be here with me, to be here on earth, than to be gone, to be in heaven. And so the subtle message is that this earth is better than heaven. That this earth is our final destination. This is where it matters. The sad thing about this, if we permit these kinds of movies or songs to influence us, then more and more our hearts attach to this world. This world is where our heart is. God will give us where our hearts are. So if my heart is here in this world, in my property, in my sports, in my hobbies, then he'll give me those things. The problem with those things is they won't last. Only heaven will last. These other things won't. So I would have put my heart on something that will come to an end, and then I'll be left empty. And so then we have a teaching. We have something that's not surprising what our culture does, because basically it is what we experience. We experience the love of persons with us here. That's our experience. We also experience the joyful things we have in this life, our hobbies, our properties, our sports, whatever happens to give us joy, our passions. This is our experience. But we have something that's more important than our experience, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God, especially in the New Testament, reveals to us that heaven is more important than this earth. And Jesus, as I've been saying, teaches us. Jesus teaches us that heaven is more important by what we celebrate today, and that is his ascension. And so then we want to believe, because it's revealed that the earth is good. God found us and this earth, he found us very good. He found us very good. He found the earth good. But heaven is better. What is offered to us in heaven is better. And the way we know that is not by experience, but by the word of the Lord, by God's revelation, and by today's event, Jesus' ascension. It is wonderful that on this day that we're celebrating the Ascension, we also have Anthony's First Communion. And congratulations, Anthony. And by the way, Anthony, you look so handsome. I am envious of you. You look very sharp. Of course, you're dressed up for your first Holy Communion. You'll be receiving Holy Communion for the first time today. And I want to highlight for you that Holy Communion goes by a number of different names. It is Jesus coming to visit us. It's called the Body of Christ, the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament. There's two other names that we don't use that often, but I want you to know. One is called the Bread of Heaven. The other is called the Bread of Life. And with bread, that's a capital B, because we're not talking about bread here. We're talking about the Body of Christ. We're talking about Jesus. But the bread of heaven, the reason why God calls the Holy Eucharist the bread of heaven, we call the Holy Eucharist the bread of heaven, or the bread of life, is because, Anthony, because by us eating the bread of life, eating the bread of heaven, every time we are reminded, heaven is my true home. This earth is good, this life is good, but heaven is my destiny. And just like we need food to get around to do things here on earth, we need spiritual food. We need the body of Christ in order for us to get to heaven. And so Anthony's First Communion is a reminder to all of us as we celebrate with him, are glad for him. It's a reminder to us that not only is it clear what our destiny is today with our Lord's ascension, but it's also clear how we're going to achieve that by coming to Mass every Sunday, receiving the bread of heaven, the bread of life. So we have the energy to do what God asks us to do to arrive at that place where Jesus today goes in his ascension into heaven. I want to segue from Anthony and First Communion and Jesus going to heaven to a subject that is difficult for me to bring up, but nonetheless necessary. And this is the time of year, you may all be aware, when our bishop releases the new assignments for his priests. He'll be ordaining 7 men in just a few short weeks in early June. And these 7 men will have assignments. And then other men, other priests will be assigned to different places. And so for me, I'll be not reassigned, but I'll be going into retirement. And I'd like you to know, although the bishop is the one who makes this decision, this is something that I approached him and discussed with him. And he was very much concerned about me because he was not asking for my retirement, not pushing me out or anything, but rather from my own experience and my own prayers, my own discernment. Of course, it's got to be given permission by him that it seemed to me that God was calling me to do something less demanding. And so at the end of June, June 25th, I will be retiring from pastor here at St. Philip. I would like to say this has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. I'm so grateful to God having been assigned here. You have taught me, you've all taught me so much. It's been a blessing for me to serve you, to give you the bread of life, to be at your service as your priest. It's been a good run. It's been 16 years. And I will continue, of course, as a priest. I'll be at the retirement home with Father Tarcisio, Bishop Laverde, and other priests. Some priests I've served with in the past, which would be nice to be with them again. That is what I'll be doing. The bishop would like me to take these next 6 months as kind of a retreat to pray, to rest, get strong, and discern what will be next. I will most likely, very likely, continue living at the retirement home, but I'll probably resurface some way, perhaps hearing confessions and things like that somewhere down the line. So I'm not leaving the priesthood. I'm just not going to be pastor here at St. Philip. We need to celebrate this, celebrate all that you've done for me, all I've done for you, all we've done together for God. And so we have a party, and I'm calling it a night of gratitude. And that will be on Saturday, June 20th. And so a chance for us to get together. I want to say to you, thank you. So many of you, I want to say thank you to for all your support, all your love. At the same time, I know that we want to be together just to reminisce and think about the time we've had together here at St. Philip. So I'll talk about that more at the end of Mass. There'll be an announcement about a letter. In fact, I wrote a letter that's in the bulletin. So do make sure you take up this bulletin to see this letter by me, just where I explain some of the discernment that I've gone through in these last months, seeing where God is calling me to go. But it has been a great blessing for me to be here with you all at St. Philip. Amen.